We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Right back here on OMF. We mentioned it over the last couple of weeks that maybe it's a little release when we're done with the show after 6 o'clock. We might have a glass or two of wine. Maybe Lou has a little bit of Crown and we're doing it. I guess more so than we would normally do it. Not that we're going out and getting drunk, but we're doing it just a kind of a release from the tough news of the day, right? Simply to say. Yeah. So Dr. Peter Bach got our attention yesterday in the Boston Globe. It's an op-ed piece in both, an opinion piece, in both the Globe and the New York Times, and I'll read it for you. Ban alcohol sales during the pandemic. Domestic violence appears to be rising, and states need to shut down liquor stores until home isolation is no longer needed. Dr. Bach joins us right now live on the Harbor One Hotline. Thanks for spending some time with us here in Boston, Doctor. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for calling me.
All right, so
it's a very sensitive subject these
days. It's very sensitive for us. So give us the reasons why we should not have maybe that glass of wine or a little bit of Crown when we get off the air at 6.
Yeah, so it's not a proposal that people who casually enjoy a glass of wine or Crown after work stop drinking. I'm not asking for some sort of abstinence movement. I'm trying to draw attention. I think it's important to realize that there's a subset of people who drink to a point where they become violent and it intersects with people being harmed. And there isn't a better way in the short term to protect the people being harmed by people with serious problems with alcohol who are now locked in homes with their families, except cutting off the supply of alcohol. So this isn't some puritanical idea of, you know, we should all stop drinking to make the world a better place. It's we need to do what we can to protect people right now who don't have all the other protections in place that we typically have, and they're locked into a particularly toxic home environment with what we're all experiencing now, which is anxiety, uncertainty, economic collapse, if that's not too strong a word, a lot of financial insecurity. Many people have their kids at home and are trying to homeschool them suddenly with no resources. There's a lot of tension, and I'm concerned, and I think the data now support, and I know this is a tough topic on a Friday afternoon and we're all struggling, but the data strongly support the notion that we're starting to see increases in both alcohol consumption and domestic violence. The data have always shown that the two are strongly associated. When there have been moments that have caused declines in drinking, like liquor stores being shut down, kind of due to strikes and things like that, or other policies being put in place, domestic violence falls rapidly and almost immediately. So it's a serious topic, I know, but I want to make sure we are thinking as governors are trying to figure out what businesses are really essential, that, you know, they don't cave to the liquor lobby and don't think that, you know, this is okay to just say, well, liquor stores should now be able to deliver. Restaurants should have takeout of liquor. Liquor is great. It's just going to solve everything, or it's going to have no secondary effects because the data suggests otherwise.
And I think we all understand, you know, that side of the argument. I think we're all sensitive to domestic violence, and yet nobody wants to see those numbers rise. And just one part of your article that I didn't want to ask about, when you talk about liquor stores closing, people addicted to alcohol, enduring physical effects. You said about 5% it can be life-threatening without medical care. How concerned would you be if something like that happened, overwhelming a healthcare system right now that is already in shambles with 7 million people in mass? You're talking 350 people based on 5% needing medical care.
Extremely concerned. I don't take it lightly at all. And I don't, this isn't a moral argument. I don't want anyone to suffer under this. And what I'm asking people to do is to realize that there is a trade-off here. And, you know, I posted some estimates today of how many more, you know, there is a cascade. Many people would be uncomfortable with withdrawal, but not have serious effects. About 5,000 people would probably end up hospitalized across the nation for very serious withdrawal. There's a lot of people who are dislocated who would need care as well.
Is there a chance that number's low?
Probably
only 5,000?
Yeah, probably, right? Because most of withdrawal doesn't cause clinical syndrome sufficient to require hospitalization. A lot of it is handled as an outpatient, but there is absolutely a subset of very serious withdrawal. And, you know, about, I would say 5,000 or 6,000 would end up in a hospital, needing intensive care. Pardon me. You know, maybe about 6 to 8 times that would need a hospital or urgent care center overnight stay or something like that for management. And I think about 800 ventilators would be needed for about 48 to 72 hours. So those are the numbers. They're real. Those aren't just counts. It's often said, you know, one death is a tragedy and 1,000 is a statistic. These are real people we're talking about here, not to be taken lightly. I just want us to realize that not taking a step about alcohol consumption is a choice we are making. That does have consequences.
Well, we're talking to Dr. We're talking to Dr. Peter Bach. Now, listen, okay. We were
joking about it a couple weeks ago, like some of the after effects, some of the consequences for being quarantined. Domestic violence is going to go up, liquor sales are going to go up, you know, marijuana, all that stuff is going to benefit from it. But I think you would actually, I think we all agree that it's like it's for real. And closing the liquor stores, I think, is a drastic measure. So what do you think would be an alternative? Like, because I think you'll have a bigger problem shutting down the liquor stores from people who feel like they shouldn't be punished because of what somebody else is doing and their inability to be disciplined and not, you know, fight and scream and yell and get completely plastered. So what would be an alternative?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, some of the alternatives, I think, people are trying to get going to make sure that, you know, domestic violence hotlines now have text capability so that people who are in homes with their abusers can still reach out. There's been more attention to the idea that governors have chosen not to consider domestic violence shelters essential kind of entities within our communities. And I can understand that there are places people congregate and can spread a virus. But, you know, I think that's one of the things we could do better. Alcoholics Anonymous has been amazing in converting itself to, you know, all virtual and Zoom meetings. It's not something everyone in AA can access, but AA is the most effective thing out there for people to maintain sobriety. You know, there's a lot of older people in AA, and having to just FaceTime with a grandparent, teach everyone how difficult it is for older people.
So the alternative, I didn't want to cut you up, but the alternative wouldn't necessarily be.
And I don't mean to go on and on.
No, but the alternative wouldn't necessarily be shutting down the liquor stores. It would just provide more opportunities for people to find help, seek assistance. Because I thought you would say something like, okay, almost like toilet paper and hand sanitizer. You can only buy 2 bottles of wine a week, maybe only 1 12-pack, no Crown whatsoever, right? So the hard liquor. Is that something that you think states will consider?
I think it would be excellent. I mean, Pennsylvania, I believe, has shut down its state liquor stores now. Could try and monitor that kind of thing. I don't want to put this in the hands of small business owners. I think this is a difficult call to make. They could try and execute on it. A lot of places you can go from one liquor store to the next, of course, pretty easily. I don't see us launching a national registry of liquor purchases. But yeah, of course you should be doing things in the long run to help discourage heavy alcohol use anyway. But I'm talking about during the home confinement period only, this intersection. And, you know, I think public education would also be good. But, you know, I know you guys were joking about it. you know, I've gotten dozens of texts today from friends of mine who say they'll no longer speak to me. And they're, of course, I mean, actually, maybe they're being serious. But hopefully, I mean, they're sort of kidding because, of course, everyone is reaching for this kind of way of getting through this. But that's exactly the source of the problem at the extreme. And I know it's an extreme measure, but we are already under a very extreme measure that is going to have consequences that we don't understand. And I think it's worth asking, do we really understand this dimension of it well enough to confidently say?
And, Doc, that's what I wanted to get into. You're in the hot spot. You're in New York City, so you're seeing it firsthand far more than probably any other city. And we're dealing with something that I don't think we've ever dealt with in our lifetime. We've dealt with some serious diseases, but we've never shut down society, and we're shutting down society. So wouldn't you say that all of this has a domino effect? So if you're suffering from depression and suddenly this hits, then it's going to accelerate how depressed you are. Suicides, anxiety attacks, so many other things. So how do we deal with all of those other different layers when we're trying to deal with the primary issue, and that is solve this novel virus that we're trying to stop from going out and spreading and killing people? How do we do all of those other layers that you're talking about?
I wish I had a good answer. I'm as kind of stymied by it as everybody else. I don't know. I don't know how we possibly provide either resources or even start to project what will happen on all those other dimensions of mental health. I'm very worried about the isolation. I'm sure just like you guys, I've been on the phone and FaceTiming as much as I can with all the people in my life who I know are isolated right now. But I don't know what's going to happen here. The reason I wrote about this is we do know what's going to happen here. We don't know the magnitude. We don't have good solutions, but we know the direction. And we know that in this case, a lot of the other systems we have in place that pick up these things, and particularly child abuse that gets picked up in schools by school workers and they're mandated to report it, and all the things that we as healthcare workers see that we report, we're not having face-to-face interactions anymore. Our kids are over the internet in school. So we know the direction of this effect. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Listen, I think you're bringing up viable reasons why something like this could be done. But what I was trying to get at with the domino effect, for an example, you shut down the liquor stores. We're already in Philadelphia boarding up businesses right now because they're fearful of looting down there. And you're going to get a lot more crime if you shut down those liquor stores. You know what's going to happen, Doctor. You know how people react. And so, again, I think all we're doing is triggering one thing to the next thing to the next thing.
I take your point, absolutely, and I don't want this to be, you know, squeezing the balloon and trying to deal with one problem and causing another problem and ending up worse off collectively. The theory here was, if you look at this problem, we would be better off collectively managing this in this way if we don't have a better solution, which I don't see.
Doc, Rook, one quick for me. Do you drink?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I do.
All right. Because I'd hate for you not to drink and say, yeah, get rid of alcohol. You know, I think we can ban cigarettes, but I don't smoke cigarettes, so it's easier.
I'm a lung doctor. I wish we would get rid of cigarettes, too, but I'm not calling for a ban on cigarettes.
All right. Doctor, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Stay well.
You, too. Stay safe, and thank you so much for having me.
You got it. Dr. Peter Bach is out in New York City at the Sloan Kettering Cancer Center.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.